week, the Khloe Kardashian thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of talk to you guys about that because I think it's such a sad state of affairs.
It made me really sad. And I told you guys that I downloaded a Facetune app and messed with it. I have the before and after. And it really messed with me. It made me so sad. I am so glad that I'm not a teenager. Like most days, I'm glad I'm not in general because it was a terrible, terrible time. But to have that added pressure and the fact that you can literally very easily, for free, change the way you fucking look. Mm-hmm. My heart goes out to Khloe Kardashian. As for a while because people rip on the Kardashians in general.
But her specifically, she's rip on a lot. Her.
She has
specifically, and yeah. I think it's well,
but,
fucked up.
But here's the other part of that, right? Like I feel very bad for Khloe Kardashian because the picture that she scrambled to have removed from the internet was a very cute picture of her.
I know.
Like she looks
rockin' bod.
And she looks adorable. Like she looks like your friend. She looks like somebody that you'd be hanging out with. And so I feel really bad for her because for her self-esteem to be in a place where she thinks that she looks bad or she's going to be criticized, like that's really hard. At the same time, this is a family with an enormous platform. Mm-hmm. And I feel like all of this stuff on social media, the fact that they're constantly editing their photos,
right,
is contributing to teenage girls or women in general or people in general on social media never feeling like they're good enough ever. Yeah. You know, like I really wish that we could just get to a place where Khloe Kardashian could upload a photo of herself just kind of hanging out, having fun at the pool, and it would be fine. And everybody would be able to celebrate that and just be like, oh, live your life. We're happy for you. You know, I don't know.
Right.
It's a double-edged situation.
But then why follow her? She's no different than anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. They've created like a we're better, special, more elite than you.
Yeah.
So if you just look like one of us, then is that I don't know. I don't know where
we land. You can't sell the makeup. You can't sell the products that's going to make you look like a Kardashian if you look.
But you still can because these women have still had they have access to all the best skincare, all the best plastic surgeons, all the best everything that we still don't have. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that we do have that they have is the ability to use Facetune. Okay. Like that's the one thing that's
true.
We have that they have. We don't have everything else, you know, like their lifestyle would still be aspirational regardless of whether or not they were editing their bodies because I don't get to just fuck off and go lay on a yacht all day. Like that's still aspirational content, whether or not you look like the perfect Instagram model, you know?
Yeah. I mean, beauty culture in general, like, We've discussed makeup and we've discussed, you know, skincare and that sort of thing. And I'm of the opinion, do what you do for yourself to make yourself feel good.
Right.
But I am the eat the rich person on the podcast. I think that the beauty industry is designed to make you feel like shit about yourself.
Of course it is. Capitalism.
So that you spend your fucking money.
Yeah.
And I think you're all fucking beautiful. And so I get personally really upset and angry and my heart hurts for people that look on Instagram or that look on the cover of Cosmo or that look on a billboard or on television or every single thing that is designed to make you feel lesser than. Mm-hmm. And I hurt for girls. Yeah. Today for little girls and little boys
for everyone.
Oh, it's everybody.
It's everybody. I mean, we just did an episode on Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist all about facial filters, and also Facetune and those things and how all of them kind of play off of each other and what that's actually doing, how it's actually like changing our brains.
Yeah.
and very often in a really negative way.
For sure.
And I don't know where it goes. Like, I don't know where it goes from here. And I am also like, I'm all about body autonomy. Do what you want.
Right.
Like, do what you want. Do what makes you feel good. You know,
I'm looking at Fenty.
Yeah.
I'm looking at beauty companies that are focused on empowerment
and inclusion.
And inclusion.
Yeah. Right. But isn't that another way to just sell you? Because here's the thing.
To be fair,
to go back to the argument where I said, then what are they selling that's aspirational? My point wasn't that I think that way. My point is that's probably what somebody who is in their position thinks, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. So before people come at me and are like, you know, do you feel that way? I don't feel that way. My point was being that is probably the mindset of somebody who is, you know, that is they're selling an image. They're selling selling themselves, right, as a
brand. And it's
brand.
Part of their brand at this
and
point.
And so, yeah. Right. So when you're off brand or you're not looking like your brand image, then you're like, oh shit, what am I selling if I'm not selling that thing that's me? That's what I am.
It's really hard. It's really hard and it's really complicated because also that same week that Khloe Kardashian, you know, was having that issue with her picture, it was also, there was a video of Kendall Jenner where she had a body filter on that glitched for a second and you could see that she had edited her waist in. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they are under a tremendous amount of pressure.
Right.
But Kendall Jenner, if you feel like you have to edit your body, mm-hmm, when you're Kendall Jenner, a literal supermodel with a supermodel's body, what does that say? Uh-huh.
To the rest of us?
To the rest of us. Or to like young girls, like what would that have said to me who was already struggling with my self-image and my body image as a teenager, mm-hmm, that like...
I mean, let's be honest. All three of us still do.
Oh, of course.
All three of us still, mm-hmm, do. Me, 39. Cassie,
probably more so now than I did when I was younger. I think getting into the beauty industry, when I was a teenager, it's so funny, we were just talking about this last night. When I was a teenager, I was very, we all have our issues, but I very much anti-sexualized my body. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in the 90s where thrift storing was like, you know, the
thing.
It's what you did. And for me, I dressed very androgynous, very boyish, very, very just punk kid, very, you know, barely any makeup, if any. I had the kind of very anti-beauty image in high
school. It's just so funny because you're the one of us that works.
That's right.
In the beauty industry.
And what I will say, and not, the company that I work for, I'm very, very excited. It was really awesome to see. They are very inclusion based. And mm-hmm, I mean, our models, they don't want like stick figures. They want model. I mean, not to say that our models aren't beautiful. They're all beautiful. But the goal is that we have, you know, models that are representative of every style.
Well, I think we need to redefine what beauty means.
That's right.
I think that's the thing. And that's where I came out whenever I was talking in that episode where I'm like, you do whatever makes you happy and you look, mm-hmm, however you want and like however you feel beautiful and whatever you want to do to achieve that, I have no problems with. The issue becomes for me that like it's to a point now where every Instagram influencer, Instagram model looks the same.
The same. It's and so, like robotic.
And it's called Instagram face. There's an incredible article about it in The New Yorker. I would recommend you go read it. It's great. But it's for me, what scares me about that is that are we going to lose this thing where our differences make us beautiful and unique, you know, mm-hmm, where like I feel like in the 90s and in the 80s, you would have like supermodels who had like different shaped noses or, you know, different, mm-hmm, shaped faces. And now it's like there's a very specific, very narrow definition of what is marketable, mm-hmm, and beautiful, specifically on social media.
Well, mm-hmm, social media is really new. And with any kind of new media, it's going to go through its phases. There's always, you know, someone will come out that's original. Originality and freshness, mm-hmm, will ultimately like
win out
in
the end. I hope so.
Yeah. I try not to be pessimistic about the social media culture. I just think it's a new tool that we're still learning to use. And unfortunately, I feel like it's cut a lot of people. I feel like it's hurt a lot of people. But overall, I'm optimistic. If I had any message for people, look how you want to look. Dye your hair whatever color. Cut your hair whatever color. Like, find that voice from within, because there's so much media saturating. Yes. telling you that you should look like this or like this
and
or like this.
And it's changing all the time, by the way.
So just look like yourself.
So giving in to whatever the flavor of the week is right now, it's not going to be the same 10 years down the line. That's because right. The beauty standard is changing constantly.
Yeah, the landscape is constantly right. changing.
I mean, and what was like the ideal, quote unquote, body type yeah. whenever I was a kid?
Sure.
You know, that like Jennifer Aniston, like doing Pilates and yoga was like the ideal fit. Body type. And now the Kardashians is the ideal body type. Like, it's
girl,
vastly
here's the
different.
Thing that always, you know? I've always struggled with, because, you know, everybody says representation matters. And it does, because it doesn't. It's weird to see, like, people are like, oh, it's great to see a bigger model. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I'm not. I find myself very medium in size right now, but I've always been a slim person, mm-hmm. slim to medium. I won't say that like I've ever been like big, big. The thing that I've always struggled with, though, is no matter how big or small I am, I have the ugliest cottage cheese legs.
Don't talk about yourself like that.
Listen, yeah.
Don't talk about my friend like
don't
that.
Look
I
at that. Don't
hear
say
what
that.
You're saying, but this is the thing. To me, you never even on quote unquote. A model who is, you know, maybe a little average sized or above, mm-hmm. you don't see cellulite on anybody. And I'm like, it is an ugly
thing. No, it was in a Kendrick Lamar song. And
it's hard to get past that not feeling ugly when no one ever wants to aspirationally go for having cellulite.
That's you know.
I think that that's a larger conversation. Lena Dunham just released a statement where, because she's coming out with her own clothing line, and there are issues with the body positivity movement, because very often it's still a very narrow
definition, narrow.
Even in, you know, different bodies. Like, it's still very narrow. There's still, it has to fit within these certain standards of beauty.
Parameters,
but
yeah.
I do feel like that is changing. I feel like it's changing. And I feel like that is one thing about social media that I am grateful for. Mm-hmm. You know, there are pros and cons to everything, but
it depends on who you follow.
That's right. You can curate your feed, follow
yep.
people who,
right.
who empower you.
Yep.
And like, I love seeing Lizzo post every day. Like,
same.
That makes me feel good. It makes me feel like we're moving in a more positive direction. So, you know, there are pros and cons, but I just think that these conversations are really worth having, especially if we do have some younger listeners, or we have people who have younger daughters, teenage daughters, that it's just a good thing to be cognizant of and aware of, because I think that sometimes I don't even realize how much I'm internalizing this stuff,
mm-hmm.
just
oh, yeah.
being on the internet as much as I'm on the internet.
For sure.
You know,
for
like,
sure.
I think that like this shit just seeps into your right. psyche, and you don't even realize it. And then you find yourself looking in the mirror being like, I could tweak this thing. I could tweak that thing.
Little thing.
Right. Yeah. Or I'm not beautiful because I don't look like a facial filter on my right. Instagram story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, yeah. As somebody that has yo-yoed through several sizes, I was bigger like as a kid. I got really skinny in my 20s and my 30s. I'm on the bigger side now. The thing that I had to come to grips with, and kind of where I'm at right now, and why I just can't. There's so many other things
right.
happening in the world, and I got tired. Maybe I'm just lazy.
Yeah.
I'm
no, but
too
it's
lazy.
Exhausting.
No, but you're right.
To
it's
exhausting. Beat myself up over something that I'm just like, oh my god, like there's so much going on in the world. Like, okay, I have a belly now. Okay, like I'm 39. I can't.
You're like, bitch, it is what it
I'm
is.
Too tired.
Yeah.
Like, let that game running for, like, you know, in
yeah.
your 20s, that's fine. But, like, I just,
sure.
I have to love myself now. It's gotten too dangerous not to. There's too much fucking negativity out there. There's ugliness. And, like,
yeah.
RuPaul said it.
You gotta,
listen,
love,
gotta
yourself.
Love yourself.
There is on
one
dime.
Day to the next
yeah.
day. I will have a day where I'm like, I am the shit. I look amazing. I love myself. I love my face. I love my body. Wearing that
damn Black Panther shirt and those pants. I swear to God, I was like,
she was so snatched. She is
like, I was high on a stick. I was like, fuck out of here.
I know. I was like, girl.
Well, that was the first time I was like, oh, I'm going to like dinner at your house. Like, we weren't even going to.
I know. She was so.
I was like, I have to dress up because I haven't left the house.
Oh, my God. Thank you,
girl. I was like, I showered.
But you can literally go from that one day and feeling like, oh, I am feeling myself, mm-hmm. woke up flawless, right? Like you're feeling that. And then the next day feel like I feel like shit. I can literally go from one to the other where I look in the mirror and I'm like, I want to cry because I feel like
I look, you know, in the mirror like a boy these days. You know, I'm just like,
I got clothes on. That's great. Good.
So I just want to say that, like, yeah, wherever you are on your journey, it's going to change from day to day. It's okay to not feel 100% all the time.
Yeah.
It's okay. As long as you are consciously working on loving yourself, you know, you're gonna have good days and bad days. That's everybody.
Dude, you know what? Like, listen, at this point in my life, I'm like, I'm not going to be a rocket science. I'm not going to be a fitness model. There's just like some certain things. Places. I have a great personality. I'm fine with that.
Bitch, I'm funny. Have you heard me?
Honestly. I'm funny. And that's more than a lot of people have. Correct. Let me tell you.
So, you know, like certain days I'm like, so if I'm not going to be a fucking fitness model, I'm not going to fucking stress myself out. That's because I don't fucking look like one. I don't do the work. That's eat nothing but grilled chicken. So why am I thinking that I can sit on here and be like, oh, if I buy this thing that zaps my tummy, I'm going to look like a fitness model. No. So, God. It is what it is.
Girl, isn't that right? You're telling me that this year of just sitting on my ass watching Netflix is create.
Isn't it funny? It's so funny how that happens where you'll be like, like literally in the beginning of the pandemic, I'm like, all I'm doing is eating whatever I want, drinking whenever I want, and sitting on my ass at work all day and then on the couch all night.
I don't understand. Yeah,
so what the fuck happened? You know what I mean?
I think we just nailed what happened. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
What is going on?
What headspace are we in where
we're very introspective. My birthday was yesterday. We had a baby shower yesterday. Yes. Life change is happening. So we're just like in this.
We're all vaxxed. I feel like we're feeling a freedom. Okay. Yeah. Like things are.
God, just speaking truth to power today. Oof. Just love yourself.
Yeah, welcome to the Love Yourself Hour. This
right?
No, you're Christina. Here. You're at my worst date, and I am Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina. So, who are we gonna fuck, marry, kill this week?
Oh dear. Ooh. Oh no. I know what's happening right now.
We
oh God,
had a moment the other day, Christina and I, in which she released information that
spicy info.
Particularly disturbing, in which she said that she does not find Patrick Swayze hot
at all is where you get me, because I'm like, I can understand, you know, there's an element of Patrick Swayze that's not, I never thought he was the hottest man alive, but I don't think
he's disgusting.
But how does he compare to other Patricks?
Okay, all right, the battle of the Patricks is on. We got Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. That was my list. So I had Patrick Swayze, Patrick Dempsey, Patrick Stewart.
Very well.
Oh my gosh.
But I will open the floor if you have some Patricks in which
Mahomes. I don't know very many Patricks. Let's see. I think that those three are probably the best ones. They're the first three that pop up: Patrick Stewart, Patrick Swayze, and Patrick Dempsey.
Young man.
Yeah, you nailed it. I think. Right off the bat. So,
okay. So we have Patrick Dempsey, Patrick Swayze, who is hot, and Patrick Stewart. I think I know what Christine, I feel like I can read your mind. You're going to marry Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck Patrick Dempsey and you're going to kill Patrick Swayze.
100%. That's exactly it. Because me and Patrick Stewart are going to fucking foster pit bulls, which are the best videos you've ever seen in your life. I feel like he enjoys really good wine.
He's a
fucking knight. So what does that make me? Do I get to be Lady Christina?
I think so.
I'm not an expert in in how that works. I'm not sure if that works that way, but you will get to hang out with Ian McKellen. So that's a good time.
I think he's hot.
Yeah.
I do. I have
love a bald
had
man.
A crush on Picard for a long time.
Very long time.
But God, that freaking picture, Silver Fox, Patrick Dempsey, he is looking fine these days. And I'll take him now over then. I think he's aged very well.
Like a fine one.
I'll take him however he comes because I liked him in Can't Buy Me Love too. I thought he was cute, little nerdy, cute guy. I was into it. Okay.
He's that fun guy.
He's you're gonna have barbecues and fun. So much fun.
That's gonna be the boyfriend that you have where like you guys break up, but you still like him. Yeah, like he's still nice.
He messages you on Facebook on your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not weird and it's not like shitty. No. Yeah. Like
it's just like, hey, hope you're well.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get. And and you have moments where you wistfully think about what might have been.
Yeah. But don't think about it too long.
It was just the wrong time.
Yeah.
You got together at the wrong time.
That's right.
You wanted different things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What if your paths have been the same?
Yeah.
Ooh, he's totally that boyfriend.
I get those vibes for real. Yeah. He took you on good vacations. Yeah. I feel like he took you on vacations to Europe and did all the things.
Along with your parents.
Yes, he did.
So well.
Your parents still talked.
Yes.
Girl, your parents sent you an article from the newspaper that they cut out
with
of his wedding engagement.
Yes.
My mom did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. That is my mom to a T.
That's hilarious. But no, totally, like he stays up and he plays rummy with your parents and like he's always like, anything else I can get for you, Mrs. Cortez, you know, like he's that
you to call me Tammy.
Yeah, exactly.
You just can't.
Yeah, your mom totally has a crush on him.
Yes. 100 She's like, please marry him so we can keep him close by.
You're like, mom.
Okay, but I am going to also date and fuck Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
For sure. For all of those reasons. Mm-hmm. I get all of those vibes. For some reason, even though like he's the perfect boyfriend, but
these are all good ones. But I'm not gonna lie. This is really hard.
This is good. It's hard. But I don't see myself marrying him. It is gonna be one of those like tearful goodbyes, right? Where like you both just you hug and you agree.
Something esoteric that's missing.
Yeah, you're holding hands and you're just saying like, I'll always love you, but yes, I wish you well. I'm actually going to marry Patrick Swayze.
Okay.
Now, I like Christina. I think I'm in the middle here where Cassie's
you have to fuck Mary Friend.
Cassie's
I feel like you have to.
Hot. You think Patrick Swayze's like
I think
the
he's
hot.
Good looking. Yes. I'm not like, I don't think he's like the hottest thing ever, but I think he's very good looking.
And Christina thinks not hot at all. Mm-hmm. I think in the middle, because one, The Outsiders, Exhibit A.
Oh.
Okay. He's really hot in The Outsiders. So always the
wound.
That's the hottest. Like teenage me thought that was the hottest cast of ever. All fucking time. It was
minus the Bloods, Young Guns 2.
Ponyboy?
Young Guns 2, Emilio Estevez. And,
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I remember that movie.
Lou Devon Phillips.
But yeah, I mean, The Outsiders had like, it was Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, a young Tom Cruise. Like it hot cast. Okay.
Can someone tell me what Matt Dillon. Fuck is going on with Rob Lowe and why he looks the same for the last 50 fucking years?
Eating babies.
Huh? I'm sorry. I'm leaving that in. If you pick that up, good on you. That's so funny.
Dr. Fossil's gonna lose his shit.
Oh no. Oh no. But Jesus. Okay. So I'm gonna marry Patrick Swayze. In all of the like interviews I ever saw him in, he seemed just like a genuinely really, really sweet person. And like
married to the same woman for
and genuinely seemed to love his wife. Like it looked like a good unit. I feel like he's going to be a real strong partner. He can dance, which I do think is sexy, and he'll teach me to dance, which I love. I feel like he can cook. Like I feel like he's good at making. He's going to make me like a good bolognese, and he's going to do that thing where he like walks up over to me with the spoonful of sauce.
Yes, and, no like, shirt.
Has me just taste sweatpants. Test. Yeah, I like it. So I'm going to marry him, and then Patrick Stewart. I love.
Yeah.
There is nothing to dislike. He is a worldwide treasure. Mm-hmm. I love him to pieces.
fucking hang out with Ian McClellan too.
I mean, that's very true. And this is a hard decision for me. However, for me, I never saw him in a sexual way. Right. Like I always watched Star Trek Next Gen. Like
You were Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't even Will Wheaton. I was the one guy with the beard and the blue eyes.
No.
Yes. Same.
Yes. Riker.
Oh.
Yes. Riker.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No way. Hot. I don't think he's hot at all.
Wow, Christina. You keep your wrong opinion.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, for me, yeah, I think I always just saw him as too, I was too young when I was watching that, and he was too much of like a
daddy figure.
Yeah. Or like a teacher. Like I felt like he was like my teacher, you know what I mean? Mm. So I just couldn't see myself like that with him. But if we're fuck, marry, friending, then yes, I will. I would love to come hang out with Christina. I'll come hang out with you and Patrick Stew.
The swankiest dinner parties. Mm-hmm.
And we're just
outdoors.
I'm just going to be
outdoors.
Attacked.
Under the pergola.
And your Napa place, of course.
Of course.
Oh, yes. And I just want to be swarmed by pitties the whole time, by pit bulls. I just want to be in a sea of pit bulls. Like, yes, love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
All right. What are you doing,
Kels? I am... I gotta say it. It's impossible for me to not marry Patrick Stewart. He is, for all the things you said, Christina, pit bulls, Ian McClellan, our home in Italy, our, you know, our amazing journeys and travels that we're gonna do.
Just
our beautiful
wine. So many dogs.
Yes.
Beautiful our wine. Beautiful travel. Dogs. Culture.
Yes.
Art.
That accent.
Yeah. This tracks for both of you. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that journey for you.
Yeah. Our villa is just full of beautiful artwork.
Yes.
And I can talk to him so deeply about art.
Yeah.
And
he's
really into it.
Yes. Genuinely into it.
Genuinely agrees
with
me.
Not faking anything.
Is completely overrated genre. Like, he is just, you know, we are really in it.
You guys have a wine cellar.
Of course.
Like
we
a
do.
Really nice one.
We have no children and all the money.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's a beautiful life. I am going to fuck Patrick Swayze.
Ooh.
Because I'm sorry. Them hips don't lie.
Yeah, I bet he's good at it. I really
know he's good in bed. He's
coming at it from angles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like
hitting it from the side.
He's kind of a master of all trades, right? So you have like the Roadhouse. I'm going to come. I might choke you a little.
That movie is just bananas.
It's
wild.
Horrible. No, it's terrible.
It's I saw it on the big screen at Secret Movie Club. Mm. Like I went to a midnight showing and I had never seen it before.
I had
no idea what I was getting myself into.
It is bonkers.
It's
wild.
People blowing each other up.
I'm like, throats getting ripped out.
What is this town?
Bare hands.
And then you have the
what is this town?
What is this town?
Yeah.
100.
And I'm going to friend my good friend, Patrick Dempsey. Mm-hmm. We've been friends since school. We tried to, you know, go there, but it just was weird, right? Like, we were always just friends, and it was just like, we should date. No, we should just be friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, we tried the thing, and it just... Honestly, he's still, like, one of my best friends.
He's, late-night car talk friend.
Yeah.
You know, like, the friend who, like, you just go cruising, and then you sit in your car, and you talk until, like,
he's
3 in the morning.
Even Patrick Stewart trusts me with him.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, you need that time with your good buddy.
Yeah.
But he says it in that beautiful British accent that I love so much. He doesn't want me to see Patrick Swayze anymore. He's like, I feel slightly threatened by him. and it's okay.
You're like, it was just a hookup.
It was fine.
But he's like, still don't.
He loves his good wife, Keegan. It's fine.
Yeah.
don't worry about it.
And I keep trying to tell him that. I'm like, he has a beautiful wife. Have you seen her in that Black Panther t-shirt and those black pants?
She is so snatched.
She is snatched to death. Honey, you got nothing to worry about. In fact, I don't even invite Keegan over to our parties because I'm worried about her. No.
Oh my God. Oh, that was a good one. Oh my God. All right. Well, you guys want to take 5 and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds
good. Cool. And we're back. Okay, Christina, you want to kick us off with some stories?
Let's do it. All right. I got mine from Reddit. I don't really consider it a date, but still was a pretty annoying experience. Really wish I could go back and just slap this guy across the face as hard as I can. But anyways, so I was out for a walk and was going the opposite direction around the lake as this guy. I was doing the loop twice, so was he. So on the second time around, we ended up talking. He turned around and we finished the walk together. As someone who gets like zero attention from anyone, I was super excited.
I mean, it sounds like the beginning of a rom-com right now.
Dude.
What a meet cute.
One time I was wearing this brand new sundress I got that was magic. I was wearing big old gold hoops, this sundress. I was walking down in West Hollywood to meet my brother and his husband out for like a night out. We were going out to dinner. They're going to watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Somebody came up and hit me up. First and only time that has ever happened in my life. Girls, what a self-esteem bump. Because A, I was not expecting to get hit on in West Hollywood, of all places. But yeah, and he was a younger guy too. Ooh. He was like 25, hit me up for the digits. Okay. So it's a pretty amazing feeling. So I get where she's at. She's like,
didn't even send you a dick pic
myself.
Right. It's not a cat call. It's it's a good old fashioned
meet.
He was like, can I get that number?
He's like, I just have to say that dress is like so stunning on you. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then, you know, talked and I was like, oh my God, he's actually asking.
There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it.
There is, you know, gentlemen, there is a way to do it.
Yep. So we exchanged numbers. What should have been red flag number one was that he wanted me to come over to his place.
Whoa.
Stranger danger.
Just met. No.
Just because we both like walking does not mean that I'm coming over.
What do you know about him? We both like walking and
we both
lakes.
Use both our legs.
I barely knew him, so I declined that. I suggested another walk since his dog needs a walk and we both like walking.
Nailed it.
This is the one thing I know about you, sir. Well, it ends up being rainy all week, so I opted for something else fun, or at least in my opinion. I suggested a trampoline park and he agreed.
Man, okay. I feel danger. You are adults. We had this conversation, I think last week, where we were like, you can't do the shit you used to do, okay? No. I feel like, listen, I think a trampoline park would actually be the fun.
So fun. I don't know if I would love it for a date,
but
though.
For a date, you are going to end up in some situations on that. All it takes is for you to fall down and not be able to get back up once. Forget when everybody's jumping around you and you're just bouncing.
That's my favorite. First off, he didn't really seem to be enjoying it at all. And then what made it really awkward for me is that he kept trying to get close to me. Luckily, the one person per trampoline square made that a little harder. But anytime he could, he was just right on me. And he kept trying to tickle me, I guess.
Ew. Oh.
I have feelings.
No. Dude, why?
You cannot try to get fresh on a trampoline. First of all, like, it's dangerous.
And tickling isn't sexy, also. No. I mean, it is to some people, I suppose. But it is not to me.
No.
He was pinching my sides. I'm usually stupidly ticklish, but I guess I was just caught off and had red flag alarms going off that my body was like, no, you're not ticklish today.
Yeah. I'm so turned off. Yeah.
Had to tell him multiple times to stop. So after our time was up, I was quite annoyed at him. We went our separate ways. A little after when I got home, he texts me, just being super direct, asking if I was interested in a relationship. No.
Well, I guess just getting to the point. There's something to be said.
Yeah. I mean, not at all. If you weren't so weird, maybe friends, but fuck no to the relationship.
I really hope that that's what she texted.
I do too.
Probably. Fuck no. Absolutely not.
No.
I mean, if you were cool, no.
Yeah, but you're not. So
then he asks about a friends with benefits situation.
Again, which is what you really wanted in the first place, sir. Just, you know.
Just be honest. Yeah. He was like, you want to come over? We're both walking by the lake. You just come over.
No.
I said, no, that's not my thing. But I'm really good. Just let me show you.
All right. Ew.
Ew. Told him no again. Well, I can't just be friends. I'm so attracted to you.
Okay, bye. I guess we don't need to be friends. We've gone on a date and a half?
Like, yeah.
Not even.
Yeah, right. Say whatever you want. You have a shit way of showing it. So pretty much told him the most I could be was friends. So I guess that this is nothing. Then he says,
of course, here it comes.
Oh, God.
So do you have any friends or coworkers who may be interested?
The desperation.
Wow.
Wow.
I, look, my ego will not
shot.
Allow that. Like, never. I would never be able to, like, I...
After the first rejection, I'm like, okay.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. No, I've gotten that text before. That, and for all those guys that actually did text, like, hey, I didn't feel a connection or whatever, great. Texts were always great. And thank you so much for being fucking adult enough to do that versus just ghosting.
Yes.
And it's great. Getting a nice, pleasant, like, hey, I had a great time with you. I just don't feel a connection, or I don't think
especially
that we want
if
the
you
same
feel
things.
The same
great.
Way.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank
Even
you.
Even if you don't, like, it's just nice
you,
to be like.
You appreciate it if you don't.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
not just wandering and wasting your time and trying to text someone that's not interested. So fucking amazing. But then if I can't even imagine getting a text like that saying, like, thank you, blah, 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 and being like, so do you have any single friends no. or anything? That is so
embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. I don't like that at all.
At all.
Ugh. Okay, so this is from a listener, wrote in. It says, winter of 1996, I moved to NYC and the blind date was a lunch in Chinatown. Now, I already have a sense that it's not going to go well because he's 39 and still lives with his mom. But I figure, okay, I want to pause there.
Well, New York is very expensive.
It is. New York's very expensive. And I also think there's a difference between still lives with your mom and is living with your mom. Like, if you've moved, because sometimes people have moved out and had to move back in for certain reasons.
My son's 24 and living with us right now because, you know,
circumstances.
These trying times, TM.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he moved out here thinking, oh, I'll come out, stay with you guys for a short bit, get a job, find my own place. And
pandemic. yeah. I mean, and so, yeah, I just want to give a disclaimer there that, like, we're not saying across the board that's always the worst thing ever, but it is something that if I was single and dating would be on just my radar.
Yes,
I'd be aware of that's a factor here. Okay.
And sorry, not to like override your story real quick, but and what is your feelings about where you're at right now? If it's somebody's like, oh, I'm living with my mom,
I'm saving for a house,
different, what is your explanation for that situation? You know, like, oh, that's just, you know, bum time,
or I'm taking care of my mom, that's different.
There's
too
a thousand.
So you're so right, that can't just be a red flag right out the gate.
I mean, it's something I would be aware of to discuss
again,
because I'm
on
like
the radar.
If you're just feeling like super comfy, I like that my mom does my laundry and makes my dinners, and so I don't want to leave, then I'm like, no.
We are on different paths.
Yes. We're just,
I don't
want
to take over.
That journey's not mine.
It's not for me. It's not for me. Okay. But I figure, what have I got to lose, right? I had plans later on that night, and a few of us were meeting up at my best friend's apartment in Brooklyn for dinner, and then a concert out at a nightclub. Sounds like a great life. God, I miss. Mm-hmm. The before times.
I miss things to do.
Right? I just want to be around a bunch of sweaty people again. Yeah. I ran this date past my bestie and she said, so if it's going well, just be sure to be at my place no later than 6:30 p.m. and we'll head out for dinner. But if it's bad, just call me anyway. Make up an excuse and head over early to get out of it. I need to run out and do a load of laundry, but other than that, I'll be here. Okay, game plan is in place. I love it.
Yes.
Girls are like
friends.
Coordinating.
Friends.
I head to Chinatown at the agreed upon restaurant. He shows up and just not my type. Not good. But I may as well have lunch with him, right? So we go in and I order a basic small portion of lo mein. Nothing huge. It's on a standard size dinner plate. So over the course of our day, I eat all my food. I mean, not a big deal. When you have lunch in front of you, it's not uncommon to eat it.
That's the goal of a lunch.
I mean, wouldn't want to waste it. What does my date comment on? Wow, for such a little thing, you sure can pack away the food.
Go fuck yourself all the way back to your mom's
house.
Why do you think it's appropriate? Don't ever do that.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people have issues with like food and stuff like that? Like, just don't comment on it. It's
so
fucking rude.
Well, and what reaction do you expect to get from that? Like, I don't understand how that could possibly be a positive or like a silly cute thing to say. Like, what's the goal of saying that? Like, oh, you sure can eat.
Well, I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Cool. And it's always like, especially like if you're really thin, because I got this a lot when I was a teenager and I was really yep. thin, and teenagers can fucking eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone would be like, you must have a hollow leg to fill. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah. you're making me self-conscious about eating and feeding my growing body.
Yes, yeah. yeah.
And it's like, it's just weird. So just everyone just stop saying that.
Yeah, no need to comment on no it. Need. There's just no need. Pack away the food. It's not like I ate my food, his food, and the food at all the surrounding tables. I ate one plate of lo mein. Then the check arrives. The waiter hands it to him. He looks it over, passes it across to me, and says, not too bad. You don't owe a lot for your portion. So, sure, there wasn't going to be a second date anyway, but between him acting like a human refrigerator and then making me pay for my own lunch on a first date, I knew there wasn't going to be a second one. Back then, we had no cell phones, so I head to a payphone near the subway station so I can make a quick escape, and I tell him that I need to call my friend who I was meeting later on to make sure our plans were still in place. At this point, it's about 2 p.m., and I don't need to be there till 6:30 p.m., but I'm desperate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I call her apartment, and uh-oh, she's not answering and is apparently out doing laundry. So I fake it. When her machine answers, I pretend it's her and have a whole one-sided conversation.
I would love yes. to be yes. the friend yes. and yes. listen to that message.
I hope. Yes. This is 1996, so I really hope they kept that tape. Yeah. I really hope they kept that tape.
You play it at her wedding someday.
A whole one-sided conversation pretending that I'd gotten the time wrong and needed to bail ASAP. Hey, it's me. What? I'm still over in Chinatown. Why? Oh my God, really? They're there? Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought we were meeting later. Oh shit. I'm sorry. Don't worry. I'm leaving now. I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Dude, everyone that's dating.
I've done it.
And everyone the Academy Award dating goes to. Gets an Academy Award because yes. we've all had to do yes. something like that for I've, sure.
I've done it when I've been by myself at a grocery store or whatever, and I feel like I'm getting some like unwanted mm-hmm. attention, or at a bar. Mm-hmm. I've definitely done that before. So I usually don't actually call someone and leave it on their voicemail. I just talk into my phone.
But, yeah, and but, it yeah. rings and you're like, God damn it.
You get a text message. I turn to him and quickly explain that I got the time wrong for my get together with my friends and they're all waiting for me. I fish out a Subway token because it's still the 90s, tell him it was so nice to meet him, and rush through the Subway turnstile without giving him any sense of if there will be a second date. When I got to my friend's apartment, she answers the door. She's heard my one-sided fake yes. conversation on her answering machine and just has this look on her face like, holy crap, get inside.
Right.
It's 2:30 by this time. I'm there 4 hours early and I settle in and tell her why it was obviously so bad.
Nice.
That's what friends are for.
That has a happy ending. That's dude. Right. And then you always have that tape that's to right. remind you.
You're like, I'm going to play this for you real quick. And then we'll play
hey, remember that time? You get drunk. You get wine drunk and listen yeah. to that tape.
Listen to yeah. that tape. That was so funny.
That's so good. Okay. So mine has a little bit of a trigger warning because there is some mention of physical violence.
Oh, shit.
This story, I mean, not, yeah, I'm just trigger warning.
Okay. All right.
So I met this guy back when Tinder allowed you to see what friends you had in common with possible connections. He was friends with one of our university's librarians who I've known for a long time and who is a sweetheart. I assumed that because he knew my friend at work, he was going to be a good person too. I was wrong.
I would that's always check a bummer. With the friend first.
Right? Yeah.
Like, what do you know about Matt?
Right? We meet at Starbucks, crowded public space, thank God. We went out on the patio to chat. It was very quickly became apparent that we were very different. He's very conservative. I'm very progressive. He went on to tell me about how he had gotten physically violent with his ex.
Literally oh. what?
But don't worry, he wasn't a violent man, he said.
Wait, how does that even come up?
Yes.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not violent. I did, however, become physical with my ex.
Why would you ever say that? I'm so confused. That's a red flag because clearly this person, I mean, beyond just the fact that it happened, this person also doesn't have the appropriate amount of awareness to know that how bad that is.
Right. No self-awareness.
Terrifying. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. He was also surprised I spoke Spanish with a name like Bonnie. He went on to explain how he thought I was white and how he's an American. He pretty much hated being Latino.
What?
He explained to me how he'd actively reject anyone looking for employment at the library he worked at if they had a Mexican sounding name.
Literally, go fuck yourself.
Also, go fuck off to jail. That's illegal. You can't discriminate.
Hi, the guy is Latinx. Like, and like hates the fact that he is, and so now is rejecting people and is mad at her, you know, okay, because her name's Bonnie and she speaks Spanish.
I want to say also, like, for everybody who doesn't understand, like, this is why people of color give their kids quote unquote white sounding names.
Yep.
This is why, because they know that they'll be actively discriminated against. So the next time you think that, like, systemic racism doesn't exist, guess what? This is part of that. That's like, this right. is part of what it looks like. That's at right. every fucking level. You have to be conscious of how you appear to the world because you don't know who's going to get your fucking
That's
like, job.
How is she still on this date?
Listen.
I would have, like, been like, I literally, that is.
That's enough for me.
Is enough.
Enough
That's
for me.
Enough.
That one statement. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. The big red all flag of it, like, yeah, everything.
It's all bad.
Beginning to middle so far, wow. all terrible. I just want to point out something really cool that our friend who's in HR told me recently. Her company is starting to do this thing where they can specifically ask to receive resumes without names on them so that they don't have any cultural biases that maybe
or gendered biases
yep. mm-hmm. right, and sometimes too taking off their college as well, like, so because you can have a college affiliation or, you know, mm-hmm. something that you maybe are more attracted to, a certain college degree mm-hmm. from a certain place, you can still see what like their achievements are without seeing the exact college mm-hmm. they went to.
I think that that's so smart.
I was like, that is such a really cognitive way to approach.
Yes. Hiring. I think more businesses really cool. should do it that way yeah. because I'm absolutely certain. Also, like, as somebody who has a unisex name.
Yeah.
and have had people think that I'm a guy before. Mm-hmm. I think that it's affected things for yeah. me as well, because they go in expecting one thing, then they're surprised, then things are like thrown off in some way, like, you know.
You know what's really weird about saying that is that early on when I was a lot younger, this hasn't happened in my really adult life, but like early 20s, the number of times that I would show up to either a photo shoot or a something where they only knew my name. When I would walk in and they're like, oh, I thought you'd be black.
That's
why. Is that the fucking weirdest shit you've ever
also,
heard?
Also, that's just a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Also, yes. What makes you think that that's an okay thing to say?
And you just literally base that on knowing my fucking name?
Like, it's so what fucking weird. I don't know.
Weirdest
people...
shit, dude. People are so stupid. And also, okay. like, cool. Like,
right.
Like, yeah. Well, all right. Anyway. Okay. I should have left. But I didn't. Instead, I explained how, like, I love this. She's like, I hear your racism and I'm going to try to talk you out of it.
Well, there's also like, he's also put on the table. He's been physically violent yeah. before. So I also don't want to come back and be like, you should have left, when I'm like, she was probably trying to extricate herself
That's right.
from the situation without him becoming volatile. And
right, this person is an unpredictable person. Again, yes. somebody mm-hmm. who lacks this much self-awareness that they're just going to come on a first date at a Starbucks and come out hot with all that shit.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Instead, I explained to him how the department and program I worked for was very inclusive. I work for a writing program at the university, and we actively encourage our students to write their essays and research papers in the languages that they are comfortable in. We are a predominantly Hispanic surveying community, and I speak Spanish fluently, so this is not a problem for me as an instructor. And I have students who want to write in a language I'm unfamiliar with, and our program is closely tied to the university's language department, and I can easily find someone who can help me with it.
Listen. I think that is so beautiful and
too.
So important, because I'm such a linguist and yes. I'm somebody that's so fascinated with words. The way that I express myself, and sometimes it takes me a while to literally find the exact right word
that's right.
that I want to say. If I took French a lot and I got to a place that I could be kind of fluent in it, but I feel like
the nuance,
the way that you mm-hmm. dream, the mm-hmm. way that you express yourself in your native language yes. is so important. And yes. you can describe everything, your thoughts, your feelings, who you are in your native language much more than you can mm-hmm. in a absolutely. Language that you might not be
that yes, might be secondary. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I completely agree. Well, for whatever reason, this made my date furious.
Okay.
He started yelling at me.
Oh my God.
Shouting, that fucking university. I knew they were doing that kind of shit.
What the fuck? Okay.
I know he said a few other things that, but I was taken by surprise. I just immediately sunk backwards in my chair. I mean, he's shouting at me. He raised himself up out of his seat.
He's not a violent guy. He's not a bad
Starbucks.
Guy. What yes. do you think he's doing whenever you're alone? Like, oh this is God. Someone who, like, no, like, and again, completely lacking any self-awareness to know at least even what this looks like.
Completely
like, the optics
self-aware.
Are not even phasing him at all. You know, because a lot of abusers will be aware enough to do this shit in private, which makes him very, very scary.
That's right.
But the fact publicly. That, like, he doesn't even have any filter wherewithal, very, very scary.
Very scary. There was a family right behind us and they looked over. I was glad we were in public, but this guy had no sense to him. When he finally realized how he'd acted, he sunk back down, went back down to zero. He smirked and said, I didn't have to be scared that he could read body language. I remember just feeling terrified. He then, I shit you not, shot his shot and asked me to come back to his place.
Absolutely go fuck yourself in the strongest possible terms.
I'm so angry right now. Oh my God. God.
Bold.
He said something along the lines of, there's boxes everywhere, but you wouldn't want to come back to my place, would you? I said no, and I was ready to leave. He resigned himself. He knew why the date was ending. It was a terrible scene. He wanted to walk me out, and I remember
saying,
I'm not
going anywhere alone with you.
The things I would say to this man. Like, listen, I can't get I can't beat you physically, but listen to how I can destroy your world with my fucking mouth. Oh, my God.
your bottom bunk mouth.
Well, my bottom bunk mouth.
Bitch,
exactly.
I would pay money to watch this.
You fucking rotted.
Read him to filth.
Ratchet.
Ooh. Read him.
Mad right now.
I remember saying we couldn't leave our garbage behind at the table, so I picked it up and throw it away.
Well, you can't throw him in the trash, can you?
And he told me I was a good person. Like, me throwing away garbage was noble. He walked me all the way to my truck and would not let go of my hand. Then told me he wanted to see me again. I smiled and said, we'll see. Got in my truck and never saw him again.
I cannot even believe
you're touching me right now.
You're touching me. You think you have a chance to fuck me? You think you have a chance to see me again?
So mad
that you stood up in a fucking Starbucks and berated me with some fucking racist shit.
Read them up and down,
baffled.
Girl. Read them. I am baffled that people like this exist. I go through my life overanalyzing every single tiny move I make, and this motherfucker just is out there existing, acting like this isn't an issue. What the fuck is happening? I'm so mad.
Well,
I'm
glad
so
we ended
mad.
On that story. Wow.
It is actually, this is what is so funny about you sharing that story, is it is the most perfect lead-in.
Shit.
For my tainted love story.
Oh, man.
Because you want to talk about somebody that has the audacity. I am going to tell you a story. Mm. So are you guys ready?
I am ready. Oh, okay. Girl.
I have it all typed up.
I love it.
Okay. So in April of 2017, a caretaker is walking his dog along a logging trail in Oregon when he makes a grisly discovery.
Oh, shit.
The body of a young blonde woman among several small bags of trash. She was killed by a shotgun blast to the back of the head. He quickly called police and they came and examined the scene. And while digging through the trash, which is all like fast food, it's just a ton of like fast food bags.
That's such an awful,
just a young, it's literally pristine forest. and then her body and a bunch of fast food trash.
It speaks so many levels. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oof. Well, they're able to find a KFC receipt. They didn't know who she was or if the trash would be significant, but they collected everything and they followed the trail to see where it led. The
trash is always significant.
Now, a little over a year earlier, Anna Repkina had just gone through a tough breakup. She was 26 years old, living in Moscow, beautiful blonde with tons of prospects. She ends up joining a Russian social networking site to meet new people, and there she meets 26-year-old Oregonian Will Hargrove, who was obsessed with all things Russian.
Mm. Always a red flag. I feel like having an interest in a culture or a place is great and like natural and normal.
Fetishizing it obsession, is
a yes. When you fetishize, yes, a certain people or a certain place, it just is never going to go anywhere good. I just don't like that at all. Mm-mm.
They quickly form an exciting virtual relationship, exchanging thousands of messages, memes, and photos, and bonding over a shared love of music. Their relationship got so serious that Anna decided to fly to the States in December of 2016 to spend the holidays with Will to see if their virtual chemistry held up in real life. And it did. She spent a whirlwind 10 days with Will in Oregon after she made a pit stop in Portland, Maine, because she didn't know there were two Portland.
Oh, my God. Heart. How cute.
Taking trips to see the coast and meeting his friends to ring in the new year. At the end of the trip, Will got down on one knee and proposed with his grandmother's ring, and Anna accepted it. It was all a fairy tale with one tiny little problem.
Oh, no.
Will's girlfriend, Michelle.
Wait.
Oh, no.
I can't believe that you might actually be telling me the story that Dylan just told me last night.
No.
I swear to God.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay.
Sorry.
So Will Hargrove had met Michelle Chavez a year prior at a popular hangout bar where he was a bouncer.
This is not good.
He was gregarious and popular, with a lot of people bonding with him over his military service. Although he was short and not conventionally attractive, Michelle was drawn to him, despite the fact that she was married with kids.
What the fuck? You guys, damn. Stop it.
She was married to a professor from the University of Oregon, and the marriage was pretty loveless, so much that her husband gave her permission to start dating him. They started a relationship, and she went as far as promising to end her marriage with him. She even let him move into her house. Into a spare room, only charging him $300 a month for rent.
Okay.
And to seal her promise to leave her husband someday, she gave him her wedding ring. In fact, when Anna came to visit Oregon that first time, she was staying in Michelle's house in Will's room.
Stop. How?
You guys.
How?
What? Wait, are everyone's friends?
Where are the friends?
Where is Will's friends? Because if Will's my friend, we have a single guy friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally, because we have like a couple single guy friends, I have one in mind. If I went over to our good friend mm-hmm. Lyndon's house and this situation was happening,
we would be like, just quick question. What the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you explain?
Where are your friends? This is why you need friends.
Well clearly he has friends.
He had guy friends.
Oh, and they're like, that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Cut that out. This is not cool. Because that ring that Will proposed with.
I knew it.
Stop you it. Guessed it. No. Michelle found out that they were romantic by seeing Anna's post on social media with her fucking wedding.
The audacity. You know what? Listen. I cannot imagine going through life feeling this confident. Like,
look at the big balls on Brett.
How are you this confident? What happened in your childhood, in your formative years? Is it a nature or nurture thing? Like, what is it? Because I'm like, the boldness.
My family kept me humble as fuck. Yeah. I was humble. Not special at all. No. They made sure to let me know it. Amen. So, you know, like, you need brothers and sisters to cut you down a notch or something. Or like a really critical mother to let you know you ain't shit from the beginning.
That's right.
Because you ain't shit.
Although, I don't know. I mean, I've watched many a serial killer documentary.
Oh, that's true.
That would go the other way.
Line. There's a line.
That's
There's
right.
a line.
You ain't shit.
You ain't shit, but
you.
I love you. Exactly. That's the key. You ain't shit, but that's I love you. That's the title
of this episode. You ain't shit, but I love you.
That's the line. There you go. Girl. There you go.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, Anna ends up moving to the States to be with Will. She's found her person. Like, she has no idea.
And he's found his people, so it's great.
She has no idea that he's with Michelle romantically. Michelle's his landlady. So,
were they just having breakfast together every day? Like, how did this work?
I know, right?
Michelle's like flipping them pancakes. Like, what's happening?
Yep. So she moves to the States to be with Will, and Michelle's like, not in my motherfucking house. So Will and Anna move into a small house down the street. Oh. And Will starts playing both women. Okay. When he wasn't with one, he was with the other.
Portland is a big city. Why do you have to live down the street from somebody?
Also, because he wants to play both sides, man. He's like literally texting Michelle being like, she's crazy. She won't leave. She doesn't believe that, like, we're not in a relationship. Also, and then Anna's, like, texting his friends and being like, where's Will? Like, on nights that he just stays over and, like, is with Michelle. It's
also, I have a question.
So wrong.
How is Michelle married to a professor at Oregon when they're living, she's living in Portland, but the university's in Eugene, which is, like,
Or are they
an hour
Eugene?
And a half to 2 hours away?
Maybe it's a satellite thing because Ohio State Columbus. You know what I mean? I don't know everything about Oregon.
I'm just
but...
like, wait. Okay, sorry.
I'm so confused.
Why is the bathroom able to fill all the way up with water?
Exactly. By this point, Will and Michelle have racked up tens of thousands of messages between each other. Hundreds each and every day. But also, he was still stringing along Anna. They had planned a wedding for March 25th on the coast. Anna bought and picked out her wedding dress, put it on that morning, and they drove down to the coast.
No.
Apparently, the officiant that Will had hired just didn't show up.
What?
Are you? So.
This man, wasting your time. Oh my God.
The saddest image of all times, because I got this from 48 hours. So they actually have a picture of Anna in her fucking beautiful wedding dress in the passenger seat of Will's car going through a McDonald's drive-thru on what is supposed to be
this man's
her
a monster.
Wedding day.
This man is a monster to do these things. Aww. To abuse people emotionally in this way. Like, it is so heartless. Like, it's so such a terrible thing to do to someone. I don't, and also just Michelle, honey, like, and Anna, both of you, like 7 billion people on this planet. I guarantee you someone is better than this guy. Okay.
So by April of 2017, Michelle was fed up with the back and forth. So she issues an ultimatum. It's me or her.
This like, is a hundred. I know I'm this fucking done. Story. Dylan literally just told me this yesterday. I am flipping out right now.
Will assured her that he had finally broken up with Anna, who had taken her suitcases and left for good. And then he went radio silent for a day, which is very unusual for them.
Yeah, Mr. 100 texts.
Exactly.
A day, yeah.
You know, to the point where, like, Michelle is, like, crying on the phone to her friends, and her friends are like, what's wrong? She's like, what do you think? It's Will, like... You know,
and
I
her
told
friends
him,
are like, dump him.
Please be done. Like, the next time he would contact her would be April 16th, 2017. And he tells her, hey, come and meet me. I have a flat tire. Michelle left her family Easter to come to his beck and call.
He takes her phone, right? Is that?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Never mind. They end up talking and having makeup sex in the front seat of his car, and then she leaves to go back to her family. Will ends up driving to several ATMs and withdrawing money from Anna's account. Now, the police began their investigation with the KFC receipt, seeing if it meant anything. And they traced it back to a man named Kevin Thomas, who had paid for that KFC with his debit card. So they're like, Kevin, we found an empty, you know, KFC detritus next to a dead body. And it's your receipt. So what's up? He's like, oh my God, I love KFC so much. Literally, it's my favorite place. I go every Friday with my brother. And they're like, oh, cool. Who's your brother? His brother's William Hargrove.
You know, this guy would get caught with trash. Like, I'm like, okay. Of course.
Trash.
Mm-hmm. Just in your environment.
So, like, what can you tell us about Will? Kevin proceeds to tell him the whole thing. And like, Will is so awesome. He's been in the military. He's got like this really beautiful Russian girlfriend named Anna, like blah, blah, blah. And, oh, and he just borrowed my shotgun the other day because he wanted to go.
Sure, it's completely unrelated.
He just wanted to go blow off some steam.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten it back from him yet, though. So police are like, cool.
They're just taking notes.
Meanwhile, Will is on a spending spree, buying shitloads of Star Wars Legos, cigars, candy, and paying his overdue car insurance.
I have never heard of a human I like less. This, why?
Oh, it tracks. It tracks. Wow. He's buying exactly what I think he would be buying.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Oh, no. Oh, I hate it so much.
He's also online researching time travel spells. And he's on.
Cassie's on the floor.
I'm not kidding.
She's on the floor. We lost Cassie. I think she died.
He is on WhatsApp messaging people with serious inquiries about how to time travel to fix a big mistake his quote unquote best friend just made.
I'm going to.
I
time
this
travel.
This motherfucker went online.
He's like,
with a clear ish mind, and was like, you know what?
It's on Yahoo Answers.
Ask Jeeves.
How do I go back in time?
It's so embarrassing. On top of everything else, it's just so embarrassing.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Why? How do people like this exist? I get so tired because I'm just like, I get so tired that humans, period.
Oh, I know.
You know?
The like, end of sentence. Right?
God.
What in the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He also texts Michelle about April 16th, telling her, hey, just so you know, we spent all day together. To solidify his alibi. So,
but you sent it in a text message, you fucking dumb fuck. What's wrong with you?
He can travel back in time and
fix that later. Don't worry.
He'll fix that later. You're thinking too linear.
You're right. Okay? I'm sorry. Time is a flat circle.
Oh, my God.
So, the police bring in Will. They're like, we just want to talk. Totally downplays his relationship with Anna, just throwing her under the bus, saying that she was obsessed with him. He didn't really like her at all. She made up the engagement and stole the ring.
Do you think he knows that the police are able to look at text messages? And
I mean, really, I have no idea because he literally left KFC and all kind. He literally did this thing and was like, oh, there's trash in my car, I'll just dump it out here too. And then just went and bought Star Wars Legos. Like, what?
Why do people like this make it to adulthood?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Like, how are you and surviving? How do people like you? How do you have a girlfriend, period, let alone two. I'm so
Yeah.
They have to have some, there has to be, like, there's got to be some kind of, like, something about their personality that draws people to them because.
I am flabbergasted.
Right. So he says, I was with Michelle all day. Well, when they confront him about the KFC receipt is when he finally asks for a lawyer. And they're like, cool, that's your right. We're going to actually place you under arrest, though, for the murder of Anna Repkina. So when they finished investigating, they had an airtight case. They went out and found the shotgun in the back of his truck. And that plus all the other evidence led to a guilty conviction, despite the defense trying to say Michelle did it all along. Uh-huh. Michelle was so jealous. Yeah. She's the one that did it.
You know, well, they might have been able to get away with that if he hadn't been such an absolute fucking idiot the entire time.
If cell phones didn't exist, because they're like, cool, here's the cell phone records where he pings at the murder site. And here's her cell phone records where she's pinging this at her family's Easter celebration. So
that's weird.
That's, I mean, his defense was a non-defense because it was so easily disproven. Oh, and there's just his all the evidence.
His defense attorneys must have been like, yeah, you know, they got that case and they were like, this. Well, can't really do much with this.
Exactly. You know? Not a lot we can do since you did it and you're on camera and everything, doing all this other stuff, stealing money from her account. They have him at all these different ATMs just smoking a cigarette, taking all her money to it's so infuriating. So Michelle ends up being the star witness for the prosecution, showing up to testify for 14 hours, saying, yes, I gave him an ultimatum, choose me or her. I wanted her gone. I didn't want her dead. And in January 2020, he was sentenced to life in prison, and Anna's ashes were flown back to her hometown in Russia. Wow. And the jurors in the case formed such a unique bond, and after the trial, they got together to erect a cross in Anna's memory she was killed.
Oh, my God. Oh,
man.
And that is the tainted love story of Anna Repkina.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And the absolute audacity.
TM, yes. For real. Like, we've told a lot of stories on this podcast, but that's one of the most bold.
It's the first one it's that researched bold. Time travel spell.
Why?
Literally.
Seen a lot of things, but yeah. Haven't seen that. Yeah. So that's something.
When I tell you that Dylan came into my room last night and was like, oh, did he watch
that 48 hours?
He must have, because he was like, do you know the story about I swear to God. And apparently the cell phone thing came up because I think he was trying to say that she had texted and threatened and whatever and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he'd taken her phone to do it or some shit like that. I don't know.
Maybe it's a yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But it was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. No, horrifying. It just makes me the part that got me, and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna do this one, is the fact
the time
that
travel.
He was, it wasn't the time was, travel. It wasn't the time travel. That came later. The thing that grabbed me is he's living in the success. Because listen, if you're in a loveless marriage and you know, if you want to stay together for the kids and blah blah blah, like whatever, like he had formed a relationship with this woman, he's living in her house. And then he brought a woman over
and gave her her other girlfriend's ring.
I was stunned.
Bold move.
Stunned.
Bold move.
The boldest. And she found out about it because he was like, oh, this is my friend, blah, blah, blah. She had to find out about it on Facebook by her being like, I'm engaged with her like ring. And she's like, what?
What? Okay.
Wow.
I'm upset. Yeah. I feel like
wow.
That's that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that.
You're
one.
Welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Dude, 48 hours. Oof. They are like
coming in hot.
They are. When I think about it, because you have Dateline. You 2020. Have 2020. 48 hours.
2020's had some pretty good ones. 2020's
been spicy too.
Yeah, they've had some pretty good ones lately.
This did
too.
Make me want to watch a true crime documentary. I'm like, oh, I haven't gotten into a good true crime documentary in a while. Like, yeah. I kind of now, like, got me in the right frame of mind.
Okay. I'll be honest, like, you know, beyond just like 48 hours or what have you, you know, I'm always on the lookout for a good true crime documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't been any new Nothing good new, ones in a while. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch. I still haven't watched Murder by the Mormons or whatever that one is. Well, that one's still on my list.
Yeah, same. That one's pretty good.
So I do want to watch that one. So maybe I'll watch that tonight. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and viewers, if you've got one that I missed, because now
there's so many too.
I love Eric, but I'm in a quandary right now in the fact that we have like every single streaming platform.
Yeah.
And now I have like that paralyzed by the choice.
Oh, same.
There's too fucking many.
Yeah.
There's too many different ones. And I'm like,
No, I know, which is why if we're going to get into what we're watching, like it's why there's so much to watch and there's so many things on my list of things to watch. But besides watching Shape of Water, which we watched for our Tainted Love movie that we put up, we're going to put up on Patreon, actually should already be up.
Housewives.
Literally. Like and I'm just like, I'm done with Atlanta. There's nothing else I can watch because the most recent season of Atlanta is not on Hulu yet. So I had heard that like Potomac is where you should go next.
Yeah,
like
they're Potomac is mess.
Potomac is wild. It's I think the only other one that's just black women. So I was like, all right,
check out a later season because I started Atlanta like at later. You know what I mean?
I feel like the first season of Housewives is always kind of because they're trying to get their footing. They're trying to see what works or doesn't work.
I agree.
So I watched the first six episodes of Potomac and was like, I just don't know how I feel about this.
That's how I was. That's what I quit on it. I was like, this is stupid.
Because it's check very, out a later season.
Right. Well, okay. So here's what I did. I watched the first six episodes. It's very like, it's very different than Atlanta because Atlanta feels more accessible. It's like these women have, even though they're jobs that I won't have, they have jobs and they have like a hustle. These women in Potomac are like, they're like ball and gala people for the most part. And it's like etiquette and stuff I don't really care about. But so what I did, I watched the first six, then I went and I watched the reunion because I'm like, that'll give me a good recap of what happened. Right.
I like where your head's
and
at.
So there was interesting stuff there. And now I've watched the first two episodes of the second season and I feel like it's a little bit better. Will I get hooked the same way I got hooked with Atlanta? Probably not, but is it a good, like I had it on yesterday while I was like doing my makeup and like, you know, running around my apartment. It's a good like
Are
having
you
going
it to on. Jersey next though?
I think I want to do, see, Cassie says New York. Okay, here's what I need. Here's what I need and you tell me where I should go. Okay. So I need mess, but I don't want it to be fancy rich bitch mess. And so that's my concern with New York is that like I like it
it's
to be
the fanciest rich bitch mess. I mean there's a fucking countess.
That's why I don't want to it's why I don't want to watch Beverly Hills. Like I want it to be, I know they flip tables in Jersey and I'm like, that's the level I feel like I want to be at. Yeah. You know? Like
that is
they're throwing drinks in each other's faces in Jersey and I'm like, dude, I feel like that's what I want.
Yeah, you do want New Jersey. You do.
I think I'm going to Jersey next.
I think Atlanta and Jersey are probably the closest. Here's what I will say. I agree. Potomac, that's the reason I busted out on it because I was like, this fucking sucks.
I might try it later. Season.
But I think
try it.
But I think that's what I might do. This is what I've heard about Dallas, though. Now, Daily Zeitgeist. I think it was, what's his name?
Miles.
I think Miles was talking about this.
He was. Because
he was saying
he likes The Real Housewives.
Well, he likes Dallas. And I was like, oh, Dallas was terrible. I watched the first season. I was like, this is fucking dumb. But then I heard season two, like, it
shit
all
kicks off.
Takes
that, maybe that's what I needed to do is like later on a season. Because I thought I wouldn't. Like, I agreed to join you for, what was it, season nine of
Atlanta?
And I had never seen any at all. I was a housewife virgin.
Until I started Atlanta. Yeah.
And so coming in at season nine, I'm like, I don't know these women. I don't know their backstory, that sort of thing. I don't know how much I was eating it.
Yes. Yeah. And I skipped the first season of Atlanta, too. I think you
rest
have
of my
to
day
skip.
Is gonna be.
You have to skip the, I think
skip
any.
Skip the first season.
Skip the first season. It's just establishing things. And I think it's also Bravo trying to decide if they want to keep them on.
I like
so
your formula. Though.
Once
couple
we get
episodes, go to that. That reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
I like that
formula. That's my recommendation. That's the Housewives corner.
Okay. Okay. I think I might actually recheck out Dallas now because I think I will go to the reunion because I don't think I actually finished the first season. I think I'm going to hit the reunion up.
Get all the spicy deets.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go into Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, Below Deck's where it's at too.
Oh, shit.
Don't be sleeping.
Don't sleep on that.
Sleep on Below Deck.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you know me. I'm still in my Trixie Mattel and Katya mm-hmm. obsession. I am so excited for the bars to open back yes. up. So is my brother and his husband, because that was the thing. For years, it was like every RuPaul's Drag Race, mm-hmm. we would go to Mickey's or we would go to Flaming Saddles. You watch it live. It was
I would want to go
event, and it was so, so amazing. There's just so much camaraderie. It's so much fun. And, you know, being in West Hollywood where a lot of the queens like come, yes. they come and they host nights yes. and stuff. Yes. So it's just like, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I love, love, love their content right now. I'm yeah. obsessed with it. So I've watched so much of their, my brother actually gave me his password to the World of Wonder streaming service. Amazing. Where it has every episode of the Trixie and Katya show. They've got their YouTube show.
We watched some of that together. Yes. They're so funny.
They're so funny.
It's lovely.
Yeah. And again, I was talking to these guys at the beginning of the episode where I was just like, I feel like I like it because it reminds me so much of our show, where it's like you can tell that they're really friends yeah. and have fun talking to each other about anything. So yeah. it's always entertaining yeah. to listen to. So that's what I've been consuming this week.
Yeah. I have had an insane week. It's just been busy, T to B. Like, I have just been, it's just been wild. So for me, my nights have consisted of like working from like, you know, 7:15 being on set in the morning to coming home by 5:30, eating dinner, going right into homework. So at night, my days were like, at night I was like, I don't want to really watch anything that I can need to invest yep. much effort mm-hmm. into. Mm-hmm. So I found, because I like the nerdiest archaeology shit you can find, it's my favorite thing to like kind of relax my brain to. Like, it's weird. I know that's something weird, but I found this show called Secret, and it's a Smithsonian show that you can find on the Paramount Network.
Yep.
And it is so fucking good.
You would.
But it's perfect yes. because I'm like learning about the fucking Shroud of Turin, and yep. I can also close my eyes and go to sleep. And then Chris can come turn whatever
it's
he wants.
It's very soothing.
It's so soothing.
It's interesting, but it's yeah. also soothing. I fucking love, I have the PBS app for yeah. stuff like that too, and Paramount.
I need your login for PBS.
Okay. Yeah. It's connected to our Amazon. It was an Amazon add-on.
NM.
So yeah, yeah. But yeah, dude, those are the perfect things. They're so interesting, but they're also mm-hmm. like, so there's no explosion or anything like that to wake you up as you're gently rocked to sleep.
That's right. Learning about the pyramids.
Usually there's like a British narrator and you're yes. like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Well, if you have something that we should watch or you have stories, we're always, always taking stories and things are opening back up. Yay. And you're going out and dating again.
Tell us all about it.
Tell us all about it.
Vaccination dates.
Go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywarstatepodcast.com, and we love you so much.
Cheers.